19 and a half inches, I understand. Not 19 and three quarters, but 19 and a half inches. And I think we have a photo of him. Just for fun. Oh, look at that. That is a little bundle of joy. And he, let me tell you, can cry. Look at it. Already showing the guns, right? Well, you know, my family is a little odd, and I'm thinking they probably got it all from Sandy, right? But I am not in control of him. Amani, how you doing, bud? You see that little baby? Maybe you should have three or four more. So we're in the birthing room, and at Torrance Memorial, you get one room, and the whole thing happens in there, labor and delivery. Everybody else was welcome in there. For some reason, they kicked me out right at the last moment. I was willing to glove up. I just want you to know. And Tracy said, no, that's not happening. But my daughter, Jamie D., was present, and, you know, she's got her own stuff going on in her life, and she made the set list for the birth. Musically, and I'm just going to give you the set list just to, I hope you don't disrespect my family from this point on, but here it is. There's four songs, and it was an appropriate time, baby's crowning, whatever crowning is, but you ladies get it. Under Pressure by Queen was where they started, and they've got a pretty serious, Tracy has a pretty serious adult, mature lady nurse, doctor, and she's been through it, she's thousands, okay, she's been through it, well, not one quite like this, so they started with Queen, Under Pressure, and then moved to Push It by Salt-N-Pepa, push it, you know, this doctor's thinking, who are these people, and then they moved to I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, and she's busting up, and say, could you turn that down, please? We're doing. I wasn't there. This is what I heard. And then they ended with "Circle of Life" from the Lion King. So, one of the most interesting parts of the week was I came early Tuesday morning. Jeff was doing some errands for her. I think in and out. I'm not sure, but it was Tuesday morning. I came to the hospital, and Tracy's there alone with this little creature, son. Cleaned off, baby, hose down, and I come in the room, and no kid you, this is the third kid. She goes like this, didn't say hi, Dad, just this bundle of, I guess, joy. I mean, it was wrapped and swaddled or whatever you do, just hand it to me, and I'm thinking, that is not what a woman does with the first baby. I mean, he almost got air coming my way. I mean, I'm not kidding, I just started laughing. That is the message of the third child. So if you're a third child, I am so sorry for you. I am so sorry for you. You will not do that one with your first one. So it's wonderful to have another addition. I appreciate church growth in any way that it can happen. So we have a new kid, Vin. Right. So today's theme, unfriending Jesus, is pricey, and we'll work through that. A police officer in a small town stopped a motorist who was speeding down Main Street. It was a small town. And the man said, but officer, I can explain. And every seasoned police officer's heard that one before. Just be quiet, snapped the officer. I'm going to let you cool your heels in jail until the chief gets back. And he's going to deal with you. But officer, I just want to say, and cuts him off, and he says, and I said to you, keep quiet, you're going to jail. You are on your way to jail. A few hours later, the officer looked in on his prisoner and said, lucky for you, the chief's at his daughter's wedding. He'll be in a good mood when he gets back, and you don't know how lucky you are. Don't count on it, answered the fellow in the cell. I'm the groom. I'm the groom. Speaking of weddings, and so let's pray as we begin and ask God to bless our time. Father, thank you that we can be together and that we can attempt to hear from you in any and every way we can, that we can give back to you words of love and honor and respect through song and through just listening ears that want to hear you. And so, God, I pray that somehow, some way, you'd break through in each of our lives, in small ways, that we'd get it today, how good it is to be close to Jesus, how the best parts of our life come from Him and being connected to Him. Convince us today in new and fresh ways. Jesus, we welcome you into this room in every way we can and know how. We want your touch in our lives. We want you to be the leader of our life. And boy, do we struggle with that. We like leading. So I ask you, Lord, that you just grab hold of us in any and every way you can. And thank you once again for the men and women who have served in the past, some of who sacrificed everything, and those that serve today. May you bless them on this Memorial Day weekend. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series, if you happen to be new with us, entitled Journey with Jesus. And we're moving our way through his life, step by step, event by event. Boy, we have seen so much. We've been inspired, most certainly. We've been challenged. We've been fascinated. We've been taught by him, I trust, through the events of his life and seeing how he dealt with other people. And we're kind of in that phase where he's dealing a lot with the religious leaders and a lot of debate and a lot of battle. But out of that debate and battle, we get conclusions. We get understanding, if we're willing to listen, through the stories and the parables and the confrontations that he constantly had with them. Guys who were legalists, guys who knew better than God. And sometimes we can step into that mode. I mean, we don't do it outwardly with our words, but we think we know best at times. At least some people struggle with that. The pastor certainly does, so maybe you guys are better than that. But we've seen in him great power and just overwhelming stuff that really, in truth, is too much to take. And when it's so big, when 20,000 people are fed from a couple of baskets and a couple of fish and a couple of loaves, it's like, really? I mean, it's not within our realm to, really? Yeah, because he's God. And the message over and over again is God is all-powerful. And somehow to want him to be that, to embrace that, to sort of submit to that truth, it's a struggle at times. We know it factually, but to really deeply believe that and embody that and submit to him, saying, yes, that's true every day of my life. So him being powerful and overwhelming, yet Jesus wants us. He wants relationship with us, not just belief in him, where we say, I sign on the dotted line, I'm willing to believe. He wants that, most certainly. You'll see that today. But he wants us close, yet he's so powerful and overwhelming, and that's hard to connect. You can hear me saying it, and you're going, yeah, Jim, I'm with you. How much of that do we really get? But that's what he wants over and over and over again. He wants to be a companion with us, like our best friend. The Bible says he never leaves us, ever, ever, ever. That he's always available. Those are amazing truths. Well, let's get into the stuff to get you home to Memorial Day weekend. A shrinking wedding banquet is what we're going to look at today. Number one, first of all, the invite to a wedding is sent out. Now, weddings, as you well know, are as normal as anything you want to mention. Apple pie, baseball, whatever you can come up with. Weddings are just normal. Matter of fact, actually, my best friend, one of my very, very best friends, Charlie Keller, he officiated one last night. He sent me a picture, so I'm putting it up here just for fun. Just to, you know, y'all know weddings, and I paid for many. But I didn't mean that negatively. I met this couple briefly. It's his niece and, I guess, nephew-in-law now. That's Charlie back there, smiling, grinning. Beautiful bride. It is a great day for a bride every time. But I just for fun want you to check out the flowers. Now, the guy with the gray hair on the right, he's the guy who paid for it. And his hair got grayer as he wrote checks. But But I'm going to find out how much these flowers cost, because the bride is into flowers. But those are gorgeous. I wish the photo was better on my phone. I don't know why. But why I like flowers? Because I have four daughters, and they're all into flowers. I'd rather watch football than flowers. But weddings are normal. They're every week. They're ongoing. They're not going to stop. And we're going to visit a wedding invitation. So enough about that. In this story, we have a wedding. All right? Matthew 22:1, it says this: Jesus spoke to them again. Them is the chief priests and the elders and the religious leaders of the day, and the temple courts were still there, along with the public in general that would have been on the outskirts. There's a debate going on. There's education trying to be given. There's a pull that Jesus is trying to grab onto these guys and change their thinking. And I believe these stories ought to change ours. They ought to inform us. They ought to inspire us. They tell us how to take Jesus on board even more in different ways. So Jesus spoke to them again in a parable. This is his third story in a row. We've gone through them week after week. Stories he made up to get a point across, to teach a moral. Remember, they wanted to arrest him after the second one. They were just done with him. But they were afraid of the people. So he brings up another one after the fact. All right, verse 3, let's keep going. Saying in this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like. So he starts this parable out by telling them what it's about. It's about the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't do that all the time in parables. He doesn't start by telling them where they're headed or what it means. Sometimes the meaning comes late in the parable. This is a little different. This would have caught their attention. No secret here. It's the kingdom of heaven that he's talking about. He goes on to start the story. He says, a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So this would have been an extraordinary event. It would be a week-long marriage. It was different. And I'm so glad we don't do that today. I'm so glad that it ends at the end of the day. But this was a king's son. So we have this huge wedding feast that's about to come. So people understood weddings back there just like they do. They're expensive. The expense would have been staggering back then at this time. This would have been a royal wedding and multiple dinners throughout the course of a week. Everyone would have loved to have been invited. This would have been that party that you want to be at. Number two, the event is ready to attend, but Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem. Everything's set. Preparations would have been set for months. The planning for this event would have been enormous. Remember, this is the king's son. Don't forget this. That's part of the whole parable and the setup of it. Verse 3, he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. So invites had gone out. There were certain people that were welcome to come by invitation. To be invited to an event like this was a huge honor. This is one of those you would have told your family. Are you going? Oh, sorry, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going. You know, this is one of those. Guess where I'm going? But they refused to come when the servants went out and said, it's time. Now, this would have never happened in real life, but Jesus is laying out this parable in order to get our attention so that we can look behind the curtains here if we're willing to peek and to want to know him, to want to understand him. To really, in truth, want to understand what salvation is all about and how precious it is. So the time had come that they decided on their own that other things were more important than this invite to this wedding feast, this royal wedding. They refused to go, the Bible says. They refused to go, which would have been an affront to the king. He would have been ticked. He wouldn't have liked this. Very offensive reaction. Verse 4, then he sent out some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. So he asked them once, and now he asks them again to come to the dinner. You know what he's saying here? You ready? The coals are hot. They're lit up. And then he goes on to say, and I love this, you know, this is the Bible's full of humor with real life. It says, my oxen and fatted cattle, multiple. This is the meal you want to be at. have been butchered. Now, meat is ready to go on. It's time for you to come. And this is just a tough verse for vegetarians and PETA. It's just a tough verse. And I don't mean to mock anybody. If that's your preference, it can be a very healthy one. And sometimes I think, dude, you could go veggie. But I get it. But it's a tough one here when Jesus talks about cattle being slaughtered. And I don't want to mock anybody. PETA maybe a little, but biblically, God is in favor and has provided meat for protein for us to eat. And it's funny, I've never eaten Indian food in my life. And I went to an Indian restaurant on Friday. One of my son-in-laws graduated from Talbot. And it was a great day. And we went out with his family and went to an Indian. I've never gone. And they're trying to teach me how to order. And you have to be careful when you're picky like me, because there's lots of flavors in there that are a little bit strong. But it was delicious. I am going back to that same place because it's safe there. So, but I know what to order. There's this chicken and this little orange stuff. And so Doyle, who's the father-in-law, we're sitting across from each other. He's trying to teach me about Indian food. There was some rice with shrimp. This is horrible to do if you didn't eat breakfast. But it was I had some lamb. It was absolutely delicious. And he's trying to tell me about the menu. And I asked, is there any beef on the menu? What do I know culturally that they love cows? You know, I keep telling you I'm a C student, and you just need to understand that I really, really am. But once I learn that, I won't order beef. Just a little fun. But I just want to get across. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered. Okay. And everything's ready. Coals are hot. We're ready to cook. Come to the wedding banquet. This would have been the first dinner of the festivities of the week. This would have been a spectacular, historic week in the life of the king, his son, certainly his bride, and the whole area around would have been enormous. The king here is, in essence, the one with power pleading with the people to respond. And their response is sad that they were not going to come. And it's surprising in the midst of the story. The king is concerned, certainly, and in a bit of a quandary in the midst of the story. Number three, finally, they ignored the invite violently. They didn't just not come, but they did so violently. Ignoring the king was risky. I mean, somebody with all power, it's just risky. Because he's the king, and the truth now comes out in the midst of this story. Verse 5, do I got you? Are you with me in the drama? Please join me in the drama. It'll be much more fun. It won't be quite so boring. The Bible says, but they paid no attention. Interesting term. They just checked this wedding off in the midst of the story. They ignored the king's call. And the message here is that they were busy with their own lives. They just had a lot going on. They just didn't see it as important as life came at them. They said, I don't care. And one of the messages is you never want to let your life get to a place where you say in any way, I don't care what God thinks, what God says, and what he wants. Always keep your heart warm to what God wants. That's part of the story that Jesus is going to get to. I kind of jumped ahead, but you'll be okay. You'll be okay. So they paid no attention, and they went off. And the message here is because of their mindset, they did what they wanted, not what the king wanted. They ignored him, the one with power in their life. They made a choice. They decided for themselves in the midst of this story that they weren't going to do what the king wanted them to do. One to the field, Jesus does. Another to his business. They carried on with their concerns rather than honoring the king. That was their decision. And this is dripping with drama. I hope you're feeling it. They're acting out, really, in truth, in a selfish way. They should go to their friend's wedding to honor them, let alone the king, who provided things for them that nobody else did or could in that very area. It's pictured here. Focused on profits for themselves. I mean, we all kind of got to take care of our own budget and our own world. We all get that. Nobody's going to come in. Nobody's dropping $100 bills. through your mailbox, right? Not many people give away a $100 bill. It's just the truth in life. I ask you, how many $100 bills have you been given in your life? It's just not a lot. It's not a lot. Right? Are you with me here? Or am I just, okay, I just want to make sure. If you're getting bored, just raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. A huge mistake because of who they're snubbing is the message here. Let's go on. Verse 6. The rest, another group of invitees, so you know you have multiple levels here, were apparently offended at the king's persistence and his demandingness. Because he had asked him to come, he had asked him again, and now he comes at him again. They did what the tenants in the story last week did, and it's horrible stuff. Bible says they seized his servants, the king's servants, mistreated them. They acted in a brutal way towards them physically and killed them, at least some of them. I don't know if he killed all of them, but literally took some of their lives. And rebellion, the word rebellion, rebel, it's a very interesting word. And some people really struggle with this, and my heart goes out to them because I'm not a rebel at heart. I'm a follower. I don't know whether it's because how much my mommy loved me when I was young. I don't know. When I loved her back, I benefited. I was spoiled rotten. Maybe that's why I loved her so much. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I felt so much love for that woman every day of my life. I didn't know what to do with myself. But lots of levels of rebellion are available to us. And there's a little rebel in all of us. We get to choose. God has given us the freedom with our free will, who we want to be. And like within the context of your marriage, if you're kind to one another the vast majority of the time, your marriage is so much better. But this rebellion thing, this control thing, can come up in all of us. And for one reason or another, it doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter how it surfaces. Maybe unkindness from somebody else, so you say, you know, I'm going to give them a little bit of their medicine. You don't say that, you do that. And it never turns out well. Rebellion is a fascinating thing. There's a beast in all of us. And to find our way to quench that beast, whatever it might be, is just a smart way to live. This part of the story is about rebellion on overload, where they just got mad and angry and acted out and killed people in the midst of the story. Fascinating. It's like a Law and Order version for Jesus, you know? All right, number 4, let's keep moving. Judgment came as was deserved. Judgment came. Proper judgment is easy to understand. In our culture, if you're a news watcher, the stuff you see happen, and you know some of it's wrong, but when appropriate judgment happens, we kind of understand it. Certain things are just not okay, and you have your own sensibility, how you were raised, who you are, all that stuff. I'm not trying to impact, but we've got this sense of right and wrong inside of us, this sense of conscience that happens, and the results of rebellion are pretty clear here. Matthew 22:7, the king was enraged. Somebody that has power and all power, the idea of high emotion with that has high impact. So when we say king and we say enraged, your eyebrows go up just seeing this in the drama of the story. Everybody would have felt this as they began to say it. He was at a level 10 in terms of his anger is the idea that's laid out here. His blood was boiling. The king was infuriated because of what had transpired on many different levels. Ignoring the invite, having spent all this dough, it being his son, there's a whole lot of stuff involved here. And there's serious emotions going on. Are you there? Are you tracking? Is the hair on the back of your neck sort of stand up just a little bit? All right. Here's what the king did. He sent his army. And an army for a king would have been troops, seasoned veteran fighters, fighting men. And this wouldn't have been a fair fight. It would have been over quickly and destroyed those murderers. So it gets specific. The fellas that murdered his servants were the focus of his outrage. But then it goes on, And it says, and burn their city. And the idea here is, even if you are connected to them, you suffered. And this is the reaping what you sow in life. And I talk about this a lot because it's one of the greatest things that young people can learn. And the earlier you learn it, earlier it changes your behavior, the better your life is. Now, everybody's got a story, and sometimes, well, with all of us, there's some rebellion in the past. It's part of the rite of passage, depending on what age you are. And if you only have little kids and you think none of your kids are going to rebel at all, I just hope I'm alive to watch and help. And help. Part of the judgment here in terms of historically could be the fall of Israel in AD 70, where Titus, the Roman general, killed 1,100,000 Jews. A lot of people back then. Killed them, slaughtered them, threw them over the wall. And killed many other throughout Palestine. Josephus calls this the destruction of Jerusalem. And when that happens, there's a cause and effect. And it's just the truth. I hate, and I don't say the word hate much, but I, Jim Makinga, hate watching people pay a price for bad choices. I hate watching people pay a price for bad behavior and for bad decisions. The law of the harvest is a reality for everybody. You can't escape it. You're not smarter than that. You're not better than that. You're not quicker than that. You reap what you sow. And in this story, that sort of happens. Number five, let's keep moving. The king responds to this rejection. The king responds to this rejection. The rejection of a group of people that ignored his invitation. The hurt, they hurt and killed some of his servants, certainly. The king's next move is interesting and in truth involves us in the story. So you're going to jump in. You haven't been there yet, but this kind of focuses on you. Maybe you'll catch it when you see it. Matthew 22:8. You having fun? You okay? I'm taking you to a wedding. I mean, free. You didn't need to bring gifts. No food at the end. Sorry, but let's go on. Verse 8. Well, there's cookies and crackers and donuts. But then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready. We already know that. Everything is set to go. But those I invited repeatedly did not deserve to come. So we now get an edict from the king in the midst of the story. They've rejected me. They don't want me, he's saying. They've ignored my invite, which makes a huge statement. And these religious leaders, you got to imagine, just put yourself in their skin for a moment. They're standing there in their temple courts. And they're hearing from Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. They don't know that. I get it. But he's saying words to them that if anybody, any of us said, we'd just be gone. You're gone. But because he was Jesus, he had power. And although they are going to take him out too, but that's another story. Just wait for a few weeks. Well, months. But he's saying that they're not worthy of me because of how they reacted to me and because of their rejection of me. Verse 9, based on that reality, they did not deserve to come. He says this, so this is what I want you to do. King speaking here. I want you to go out to the street corners. The idea is go everywhere and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Find everyone you meet, everywhere and everyone to my dinner, to the king's feast. This is a big deal. I mean, this is a big deal right here. I really enjoyed it. I've never taught this. It was really fun to study this. Verse 10, so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. They did what the king wanted. The more you take your life and you do what the king, i.e. Jesus, the truth of God's word calls you to do, there's a feast involved and a big one, but that's another story. We're not going to get into that today. They did what the king wanted. I love the beauty there. He said the bad as well as the good. And this is speaking here of lost people, people who did outward evil, not just self-righteous people, church-going people, but people with messy lives, people who needed help. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. I mean, there's a beautiful contrast here of these folks said, we don't want to go. We're too busy. We got more important things to do. And they set the king aside to a bustling, busy, it sounds like Cheesecake Factory, where you can't talk because it's so loud. Right? If you know what I mean. This wedding hall and the guests embodies the message of salvation, if you want to understand the parable. Those accepting the invitation to faith in his son, Jesus, experience heaven as a reality for eternity. It's part of the picture, and you'll see it unfold. You want to attend. The message here in the bigger story is that the invitation demands believing if you want to go and you want to stay. We'll see that. Number six, belonging is more than attending. Belonging is more than attending. Some think, okay, I'll just show up. All right, the king really wants me there. I'm just going to show up. That's enough. No, actually it isn't. He wants more than that. God wants more than attendance. God doesn't just want you to go to church every week and that's what makes you a Christian. It's good for you to be here. It's good for you. It's good for us. It's good for the maybe 10% of the people that don't go to church all the time. They see all you people sitting here. What are you doing sitting there listening to that guy? Why are you listening to him? What is it about this room? It's different than anything you do. It's different than anything you do all week. The church atmosphere and situation. I mean, imagine if half of the neighborhood came today. Right here, around here. But they're not coming. but we're getting some of them. We're getting some of them. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. It always has been that God wants more than attendance. And to get that in your brain, that going to church is not what this thing's all about. Being at this wedding feast, what is it all about? Hopefully you get it now. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, so the big guy arrives. We all get it. Looking over the folks, right? There he is. The king is in the room, right? He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. So some guy wasn't dressed right for this feast that the king was putting on. He was invited in this general invitation. The king said, everywhere and everybody, let's be fair to this fella, he was improperly dressed for the wedding event, is what's being said here. Based on this invite to everyone, the poor, the challenged, no gracious king would have invited folks without making provisions for clothes before they came in, is the whole idea of what Jesus is talking about. They would have gotten proper clothes in arriving because the king had unlimited funds, is the picture of the story. Verse 12, he asked, how did you, of this individual, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The king gave him the opportunity to give him an answer. Interesting exchange here. In the midst of this story that's made up, but there's a message here if you're willing to listen. The man was speechless. He had nothing. He had no excuse. He couldn't clear things up with the king. He could have been properly dressed and he knew it, but he just went by and he ignored what was available. He just showed up because he heard there was a feast. And the message here is the proper wedding clothes was wearing God-given righteousness. It's not about clothing here. You know, the Bible talks a lot about clothe yourselves. It's something that only God can give you, that only God can give me. It happens when you believe, the Bible teaches. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. His righteousness is imputed to us by God as we surrender our lives in belief to Jesus being Lord and Savior of our life. And that we become righteous, made righteous by God, certainly not our past behavior or our future behavior. This is something that only God can do. And that is the message of the wedding clothes that everybody needed to have to be at this wedding. Number seven, the message here is everyone gets to choose their future. Everybody does. This man refused to wear what was provided. This man rejected after arriving and seeing what was available. This man did not want to submit to the king, is the message here. So look what happens to him. This is judgment again, and some people see this as very, very harsh. But please understand, this is very, very much reality. And you want to take this aboard. And this hurts us sometimes. because we think of unbelieving people and we think of the price they're going to pay. But it doesn't make it any less true. It just doesn't. Verse 13, then the king told the attendants, those that were in charge of the crowd, if you will, tie him hand and foot. Now, most commentators believe that he tied him hand and foot so he couldn't resist, and he also couldn't return. He made a choice, and his choice was not a good one. Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. By now, it would have been after sunset as the festivities were moving on. And really, this is into utter darkness, away from the light. There's part of the message here. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talked about a lot in the New Testament. The idea is suffering. And facing the reality of this suffering being self-inflicted is one of the most hurtful things of this suffering, because it didn't have to happen. The clothes were available. He just didn't want to wear them. He didn't want to put them on. Horrible regret is faced with people that ignore what God promises and offers free of charge. When they refuse to believe, when they refuse to embrace the truth because it's too narrow or it's too defined or it can't be true, whatever the reason is, if you're holding back on embracing Jesus in your life and becoming a follower of Him, He did this to Himself. Verse 14, for many are invited, many are invited. You can help her go out the back door if you want, Joe. It might be easier. Sorry. You know, you think I can't see much in this room, but if you pick your nose, I see it. That's why I love little churches. Not that I want to see you pick your nose, but, you know, if you see me go like this, I'm waking three people up. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, not really, so. Verse 14, for many are invited. Many are invited. The invitation goes out to everyone. Everybody's welcome at this feast. Everybody. But few are chosen. And the idea here, at least in part, is few hear it and are willing to accept it. Now, this idea of chosen is sort of a big subject and much debated one. People ask, how do I know if I'm chosen? Here's my position. And again, it's a C student position. I understand that. But I say, will you just prove you're chosen? Just prove it. Do it in your actions. In other words, tell Jesus loud and clear in your life that you are stuck with me. I'm yours. If you don't want me, tough. I belong to you. By faith, act out in your life in a way that says, I'm chosen. I know it's simplistic, but prove who you belong to. Make a decision and live and die by that decision. Jesus is my Savior. I'm a boy who believes the Bible. Do I understand all of it? Are you kidding me? Nobody does. But in my life, I choose Jesus. And say it and live it over and over again. Well, what do we learn? A couple of simple things to take home. Number one, if I don't pay attention, I can miss things. Now, I know that's simple, but it really is profound in life. Verse 3 tells us they paid no attention and went out. And they missed so much that was right there for them. This is speaking of Israel, of course. But it's a great time to ask the question of us individually. You ask you. Not your neighbor, not your wife, not your husband. Please, I want peace for you this weekend. What might I be missing in my life? Really, I mean, write it down. Write that on the top of here. What might I be missing? Talking about the spiritual realm. There's a lot of other stuff you're missing. Who cares? But what about the spiritual realm? We don't think about it enough. And it's so important. And that's what this parable is all about. That God is important. And ought to be more important in our life. Where am I just a bit clueless? I'm not calling you clueless, but you answer where are you a little clueless that you shouldn't be. How well do I listen to God? How well do I listen to Jesus in my life? If I paid more attention, what would be different in my spiritual life? in me following Jesus. Jim, I want to follow. I want to follow. You keep talking about following. I'm him. I'm her. I want to be that. If we don't pay attention, we can miss so much. It's part of this message. Number two, good works, religious acts aren't enough. And just to understand this, just being invited isn't enough. Just showing up and attending isn't enough. You doing good works, good things, isn't enough. Spiritual accomplishments aren't enough. We simply must say yes to God's invitation, to believing in Jesus, to signing up and following through as a follower to the best of our ability. When we do this, we're changed. We're forgiven. We're made righteous forever, an act by God. When Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, it means something. You are changed by God forever. And to understand that, that's the change agent, not you and your performance. Your performance will never get you to heaven. Your performance will never keep you in heaven. It's a work that only God can do, and He provided His Son to accomplish it. Number three and last, choose well, my friends. Much is at stake. And that's what He's trying to tell these religious leaders, and I believe trying to tell us today. No one wants self-inflicted pain. At least I don't. If you push God away, if you push Him away, if you have no interest in His invitation, and if you refuse to show up with Him as King, you're going to suffer in your life. Allowing Jesus to be our friend is the smartest thing we could ever do. It really is. It's a choice away that I'm constantly pushing you to and towards, and I always will, because I believe it's so good to be His friend. To unfriend Him on any level doesn't produce what you really want. It just doesn't. It comes with a price that you don't want to pay, ever. When we love Jesus all out to the best of our ability, I don't know how to make this clear, but I know you become a little bit odd. Seriously, because there aren't a lot of people that are trying to love Jesus all out. They just aren't. You've struggled with the last couple of years. I know you have. I have. How could you not? It's hard. The hardest work you'll ever do is to follow Jesus today, and then the hardest work you'll ever do is tomorrow to say, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to serve the people I love. I know. If it isn't hard work, you're not doing it. And I'm trying to win you and woo you, not beat you up. I do know I'm a little weird. Seriously, I'm really serious. And I struggle with this because I kind of want to be cool. I grew up here in our South Bay. But when you do, when you cross over, and I don't know when it is, I don't know if it is, at least I know from my experience in my life, when you're in that groove, when you're in that rhythm, and I'm not a guy with a lot of physical rhythm, and you certainly don't want me to be musically rhythmic. You want me to clap when everybody's coaching me on when to clap. But I'm telling you, when you do that spiritually with Jesus, fine, you never do it in perfection. It feels good, and it is so right. It is so right. Befriend Jesus a million different ways, and you'll enjoy you more. I'm not saying the things in your late. I got to stop. I'm not saying the things in your life will get smooth everywhere. Matter of fact, it may get rockier. I don't know. That's not really good closing on selling you on this, is it? But what you end up at, yeah, he's quite a salesman. Boy, he really brought it home. He put the pin in my hand, baby. But what happens when life does get stormy when the friend is really a friend and you've embraced him and grabbed on, he's really, when you need him most, he's there. And it's sort of an earned blessing that comes back to you. Let's pray as we close. You got to go. We got to stop. Lord, thank you for time together. Thank you for truth. Thank you for Jesus and what he offers. And may we just get it. And may we be driven on the inside of us by our choice to say, yeah, oh yeah, I want to be close. I don't want to just believe. Jesus, I want you to be my friend. I want to be a friend to you. I'm willing to embrace you in every way I can. And may it grow in each one of our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, have a great day, huh?
We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation.
So the video got you,
breaks
huh?
The chains.
Oh.
We were made to be courageous.
Did you watch his tears away?
We were made to
watch
be
it
courageous.
Oh, buddy. I should have told you. I should have told you. You guys caught. I should have told
but
you.
Now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families
slip
away. Where are you,
thank
men
you
of courage?
You
were made for so much more. Let the power
Gilmore, how are you?
Heart
give me a hug,
cry.
Buddy. Give me a hug.
We
man, what the heck, huh? What the heck?
How
you
were
doing?
Made to be courageous and we're taking good. Back the fight. We were made to be courageous and it starts with us tonight. On our knees we're lifting hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was
our answer to the call.
Oh, really?
We love our wives and children. We refuse to let them fall.
Oh, was it awful there?
We will reignite the passion.
We gotta go
deep inside.
So love it.
May the watchers become warriors.
Yeah,
let the men of
really
God arise.
Small.
We will make them be courageous and we're taking back the fight. We will make them be courageous and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Make us courageous.
Okay, you gotta tell. All right, they'll love it. So, do you love them putting you in the front row, right up front? Is Jim gonna talk about me? Is he gonna come out here? Is he gonna jump out of his skin? Jeez. I'm not sweating, I know.